Now your Bibles, please, turn to the book of Job, the fifth chapter, Job chapter 5, and we'll be reading responsively verses 17 through 27. Page 572 in your Scofield Reference Bible, Job chapter 5, verses 17 through 27. And that's all. Please stand together for the reading of God's Word. And I point out before we read that the 20th verse is the text verse. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. For he maketh sore, bindeth up, he woundeth, and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh, neither shalt thou be afraid of the beasts of the earth, for thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with thee. Thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace, and thou shalt visit thy habitation, and shalt not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offspring as the grass of the earth. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. And together also on the last verse. Lo, this, we have searched it, so it is. Hear it, and know thou it for thy good. And let's pray. Father, how good it is, how good it is to be here. Thank you for the church family. Thank you for all that you mean to us and all that this place means to us. Thank you for what you've done, for what you're doing, and for what you're going to do in this service. And how we pray for your closeness now in a special way. Minister to our need. Bless the preacher. Bless him with thy power and strengthen him, we pray, and help us each to profit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Did you catch that verse a while ago that said, in famine thou shalt laugh? Did you catch that one? What are you doing about the recession? In famine thou shalt laugh. Did you catch that one? In famine he shall redeem thee. Huh? The Lord said, when famine comes, laugh. What are you doing?
I just wonder how we're going to make it.
Laugh. May as well. Yeah. I want to talk this morning on a strange subject. The blessings of a recession. It'll be a short sermon. The blessings of a recession. Now let's face it, folks. We are in one. I was told last night, one of our deacons at deacon's meeting, that they laid off some men this week at Ford Motor Company with 19 years seniority. 19 years. Of course, if no more Fords are made, that may solve the problems of this country. But the blessings, I said, of a recession. Heavenly Father, bless this message to the faith, the building of faith of our people, and the encouragement of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You say, wait a minute. You say, the blessings of recession. You mean, don't you, preacher, the blessings of prosperity? No, I said the blessings of a recession. I mean the blessings of being without a job. I mean the blessings of not having money to pay the rent. I mean the blessings of not having a new dress for the banquet. I mean the blessing
No, I didn't say cursing. No, I didn't say the blessings of having a dress. No. I didn't say the blessings of having a job. No, I said the blessings of recession. I mean, the blessings of wondering where the next meal is coming from. I mean, the blessings of crying yourself to sleep at night and praying for God to feed the family. I mean the blessings of exchanging old things as gifts and not being able to buy a gift on Christmas, but taking something you've had for years that you appreciate and that you treasure and giving it to somebody else and having no money to buy new gifts. I mean the blessings of recession. I mean the blessings of wearing hand-me-downs and walking the streets looking for a job. I mean the blessings of recession. In famine, he shall redeem thee. He does not say in famine he may redeem thee. He does not say in famine he could redeem thee. It says in famine he shall redeem thee. Then it says in famine thou shalt laugh. Doesn't say in famine it's okay to laugh. Doesn't say in famine you may laugh. No, it says in famine thou shalt laugh. I want to talk to you for a while this morning, and God knows we need this. I sat in office this week and watched them as they came one after the other to the house. What can we do? What can we do? For the house, everything is going bad. Now, I'll make this very plain, folks. When you don't have something, that doesn't mean everything is going bad. The best things that have ever happened in the history of this world have happened in times of need and want and sacrifice and loneliness and sickness. But I watch them as they come, person after person after person, Thursday night, the non-college people, and Friday night, the college people, and here they come, like an army, in need, problems about the recession. Now, in the first place, a recession enables us to learn to identify with the poor. One of the greatest verses in the Bible is that verse in Ezekiel. I think it's the third chapter. I think it's verse 15, not sure. But Ezekiel was with the four slaves in Babylon. He was called to preach to them, to minister to them. And the Bible says the first thing he did, for 7 days, he went and he said, I sat where they sat. I sat where they sat. Please have the folks out in the hallway. Nobody comes in while I'm preaching now. That's the rule. And let's enforce it. I've got a lot to say, and the choir starts looking back there, and folks over here look back there. So let's listen now. We need this. God knows if we need a message, it's this one. Ezekiel said, I sat where they sat. What did he do? Ezekiel said, if I'm going to help these people, I've got to cry like they cry. I've got to hurt like they hurt. I've got to feel lonely like they feel lonely. I've got to identify myself with these people if I'm going to help them. And in a recession, the time comes when no job. I was thinking last night, I can look every bus kid in the eye that got off a bus this morning, or will get off one today in our Sunday school. I can look every bus kid in the eye and say, son, I understand. I've been there. I've been where you are. I've lived as you live. I've done without as you've done without. Turn me down just a trifle, please, just about that much. I can identify with every single bus kid. I can look at every child without a dad and say to him, I understand. Last Sunday morning after the service, a fine lady came to my office and her husband has left her and her lovely daughter. Just as fine a lady and a daughter as you ever want to see. And the daughter, I guess, maybe early teens. And she was heartbroken, of course. I sat there and I said, I recall the day when my dad left home. I know the loneliness. I know the tears. I know the heartache. I know. And, you know, for her to know that Brother Hiles had been through the same thing, I can identify. And that's what a recession does. And that's what looking for a job does. It makes, someday I'll tell in the future, you can talk to somebody who's having it tough. And you, I know. I understand. I've been there. A great blessing. I can look at every Hiles Anderson College student in the eye and say, I understand. I know. I walk the streets hunting for a job. I work for 60 cents an hour to do what I could to keep bread on the table and keep a roof over our heads in college, and had no car, walked a mile to college and walked a mile or two on to work and walked a couple of miles home after work and had no car to drive. I know. I can look you in the eye. Thank God for recession. Thank God for problems. Thank God for heartaches. They make us able to identify with the poor. I can look at every young pastor in the country in the eye as I travel across this country. Sure, I've got a big church. And sure, we have tens of thousands of dollars a week flowing through our coffers here. Sure, I understand that. But I can look every pastor in the eye who's having a tough time making it and tell him. First church I pastored made $20 a week. You couldn't make ends meet. For 8 weeks, they wouldn't pay me at all because the treasurer didn't like me. And so I got along, went downtown to Marshall, bought me a lawnmower. And the push kind. Didn't have the automatic electric kind and the gasoline kind in those days. Push kind. Bought me a lawnmower. Paid a few dollars for it. Went up and down the streets, pastor in the neighborhood. Up and down the streets in the neighborhood where I pastored. And stopped and knocked on doors, and some of the folks were my members. And I said, could I mow your yard? I'll mow your yard for a dollar or so. And I mowed yards and worked and pastored the church on Sunday and worked all I could, but mowed yards to pay for the bills and to put food on the table and clothes on our backs. And you said, over the house, you had a hard time. No, I didn't have a soft time. I thank God for it. I thank God this morning for every trial, for every time there was need, for every time of sacrifice, for every time when it was midnight. I thank God for every time the clouds were low. Why? Because I can identify. I can look there for a little lady rearing her children alone in the eye and say, I know what you're going through. I saw my mother go through it. I can look every child who could not buy nice clothes to the sweetheart dance in the eye and say, I understand. I can look every child with cardboard in his shoes this morning in the eye and say, I understand. I've taken many a cardboard box and cut it with scissors and put it in the sole of the shoe to keep my feet from touching the concrete or the ground. I know. I can look at everybody that pushed an old car off this morning. And remember that old Essex we used to have. Erlinger calls this. We had an Essex car. Not a Chevrolet, not a Ford, not a Chrysler. An Essex. E-S-S-E-X. Only one thing wrong with our Essex. The steering wheel wouldn't turn the wheel. When you got to the corner, now you think I'm lying, but my sister's an honest person. She'll tell the truth. When you got to a corner, had to get out and turn the wheels, right? Had to turn the wheels. She says that because I pay her salary, too. And really, honestly, the old Essex, and had to, you'd run it as far as you could straight, and then came time to turn. You got out, and you turn the wheels. Mama, am I telling the truth? I turn the wheels, and then go around the corner, and then stop, and turn the wheels as straight as you could, and go down to across the center line, if we had any center line on those dirt roads, and then you stop and turn a little bit like that, and it was called manually operated, is what it was called. And Earlene had so much fun with the Essex car, she got a bunch of girls and formed a group of girls. You've heard of it's called the Essex Gang. The Essex Gang. They loved that car because they didn't have a car like ours. Their car, old-fashioned, had a steering wheel. And they loved that car. They'd flock from miles around our house to get to ride that old car. And it'd fuss over who'd get out and turn the wheels next, you know. And I'm saying, look, it's not so bad. The Bible says, laugh when famine comes. Well, we didn't know we had it rough. But now we can say to any some of you college students, your cars run real well downhill. I've seen them. Good night. One of our college students had a wreck and improved the looks of the car. But I'm saying, okay, it's going to prepare you. Someday you'll talk to somebody having it tough and you can say, I understand. One of our deacons and I were out soul winning one day years ago over here in South Hammond in Columbia Center. Knocked on the door. Little lady walked the door. And a little heavy set lady, sort of short. And I said, I'm Brother Hiles. And she said, a smile came across her face. And she said, oh, Reverend Hiles. Oh, I've seen your picture in the paper. I've heard you on the radio. And to think you'd ever come to our house. Come on in. Cute little boy there in the house. Come on in. And then she wiped a smile off her face. And she said, oh, Reverend Hiles, I'm sorry. I want to apologize for my house. All we have is linoleum floor. And she said, this old chair, all the stuffing's coming out of it. And she said, well, the house, my husband left me, and I have to wash and clean houses to make what I can, make ends meet and take in some sewing. And she said, just my boy and I are alone here. And she said, I'm sorry, I've driven by your house. I know what a lovely home you have, and I've seen you drive a nice car, and you wear nice clothes. And she said, I want to apologize. Well, Reverend Hiles, I'm sorry. And I said, don't you be sorry. I said, ma'am, this little house, apartment you got here, was much nicer than the one I grew up in. And she brightened, and she said, is that right? I said, yes, ma'am. I said, we had linoleum on the floor, too, except we didn't have a gas stove. We had a wood stove, and I had to build a fire morning. And she said, is that right? You know, I guess if I'd starved to death, she'd have shouted. And she said, is that right? And I said, yes, ma'am. And I said, not only that, I said, that chair's got stuffings come out of it. I said, we never had a chair had any stuffings to come out. And she said, well, Reverend Hiles, never dream. And I said, yes, ma'am. And I sat down and told her, I said, don't think helped us through with Jesus. And I said, wouldn't you love to know Jesus? And there in a few minutes, she trusted Jesus as her Savior. And her sweet little boy, trusted Jesus as his Savior. And as we walked out, I never forget what he said. He didn't know I heard him. He said, Mama, he said, did you see Dr. Hiles sit in my chair? Yeah. Jesus sat in my chair, too. I'm lonely. He was lonely. I grieve. He was a man acquainted with grief. I sorrow. He was a man of sorrow. I had no place to lay my head as a boy. He had no place to lay his head. Let me say this. Don't shrink. Don't say, dear God, I can't understand why we haven't got all we need. Recession's here. I've lost my job. Have it tough. Lord, I can't understand it. Oh, listen. You don't know it. But you're going through some of the greatest days in your life. There's a second blessing of recession. That is, there's a chance to prove there's a God in heaven. There's a chance to prove that John 15:7 is true. There's a chance to prove that Psalm 37:4 is true. There's a chance to prove that Philippians 4:13 and 4:19 are true. There's a chance to prove that Jeremiah 33:3 are true. And I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there's a God in heaven just as much now as it was back then when prosperity reigned and prevailed. And I want to tell you, young students at Howells Anderson College, there's a God in heaven now as much as there was when jobs were plentiful at $8 and $9 an hour. He said, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. Prove me. God wants to prove. We passed a little church up in the country years ago. I was in college. We'd get up in the morning and drive 100 miles to church, and we'd build a fire in the wood stove. And as the fire would get hot, the yellow jackets would come out of the fire, and then I had to kill the yellow jackets before we could have church. And then I had to get out and ring the old rusted bell, and folks would hear the bell ringing. And then I'd see the smoke coming out of the chimneys. Chimneys, nothing. Stovepipe. And and the folks would come by horseback and by mule and by wagon. And they'd come to church, and I'd preach to them in the morning and preach again that afternoon. Only had one outdoor restroom in the entire church family and no indoor restroom. You say, well, how? What? Don't ask the embarrassing question. And one day we ate with the family, and we had all we had, one bowl of wolf canned chili, open the can of chili, and a banana pudding. That's all we had, just one can of chili and a banana pudding. And the man was so poor, he looked at his wife, and the children were gathered around, and he said, oh, I wish we had the preacher over every Sunday. We really do eat when the preacher comes over, one can of chili. I remember they'd pay me $7.50 a week, and I'd put it between us in the car right over here. I'd put my hand on that $7.50 and had 100 miles to drive home. That wouldn't even buy the gasoline. And I'd say, Lord, multiply this $7.50 and
And I pray you take care of our needs. And I'd hear somebody knocking on the door, window. And there's Mrs. Charlie Smith. She was the old pianist. We had a big, fat pianist, just like we have here. And we had a... anyway, Mrs. Charlie Smith, she couldn't play the piano. She played the bench while she played. She could play one song. That's the old rugged cross. That's all she could play. And we sang, everything we sang was the tune of the old rugged cross. And I'd look up and while I was asking God to multiply the money and take care of her needs, and Mrs. Charlie Smith would be knocking on the window, and she was what all Yankees think, all Southerners alike. She said, "Bud Jack, I got something for you." And I'd roll the window down, big old sack of food, and there'd be a couple of fine sized chickens, and a big old gallon of buttermilk, and we used to call it sweet milk and buttermilk. You rebels don't know about here. I told one of our secretaries about buttermilk. She said, "What's that?" I said, "That's what you get from nervous cows." And she thought I was telling the truth. And be some buttermilk and some green beans and turnip greens and turnip squash and fresh vegetables and a pound of butter. And that dear sweet lady knew we had need. Listen to me, folks. You've never really lived if you live. Oh, you stay for the house. That's living from hand to mouth. Yes, that's from God's hand to my mouth, and that's a wonderful way to live. You've never lived when you come to the meal table without a meal. You've never lived until you come to the day that the payment had been made. You didn't have the money, and you took the word of God. You took Jeremiah 33:3, and you squeezed it like that, and every drop of juice came out of it. You got on your face and said, "I'm going to prove to God, take care of me." Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's still true. My Lord owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the gold in every mine. He owns the river and the rocks and the rills, the moon and stars that shine. Wonderful riches more than tongue can tell. And he's my father, so they're mine as well. I'm saying it's time. It's recession time. It's proving God time. Spend less time whining, more time crying to God and asking God to supply your needs. Every promise in the book is still there. There's a second and third thing. That blessing of recession, and that is, and I love this, it's a chance for those who have to help others. Did you ever take a little girl who's never had a new dress? Did you ever? Hey, did you ever take a little girl who's never owned a new dress in life and take her down to some of the clothing store? Did you ever see her eyes as she tried on her first new dress? Did you ever see her as she walked out and thought everybody in town was looking at her? Did you ever see that? Did you ever have the joy of seeing that little girl wear that first new dress she's ever worn? Did you ever take a poor teenager and watch him and pay his way through school, Christian school, and see to it he got his diploma? Did you ever sit in the audience and watch that one who's waiting her time or his time as she comes on the platform and walks across and the pastor or the principal gives that diploma? Did you ever sit there and say, "Thank God I paid for that tuition. Thank God I sent her to school. Thank God." Oh, listen, you piddling people, selfish and self-centered and egotistical and egocentric and all of it, who never do it. Hey, this is the time. It's recession time. It's a good time for people that have to share with those folks that have not. Have you ever bought a preacher boy his first new suit? And have you ever set out and while he wore it, listened to him preach his first sermon? Have you ever seen a widow clothed in a new dress that you bought her? Have you ever put a new set of tires on a widow's car? Have you ever put a Santa Claus suit on at Christmas time? Took some presents that you went down and bought at some sacrifice and knocked on the door of a house of some poor people and said, "Merry Christmas, ho, 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 ho." Have you ever done it? Have you ever seen a young married couple return from a honeymoon if you find it? Have you ever seen a poor family in a new Easter outfit that you bought? Have you ever seen a poor little boy show off his first suit of clothes? Have you ever seen Christmas toys showed off a poor children that you bought? Have you ever seen an orphan girl receive a degree from college? Have you ever paid somebody's way through college and had gone to the commencement exercise and the name is called, and they stand up and receive the degree, and you sit out there and your heart's overflowing. Somebody once in a while, somebody says, "Oh, I'm just not all that emotional." You would be if you weren't so selfish. That's what you do. You find some poor young person and pay his way through college for 4 years. Sacrifice. And then you go to commencement and you haven't called that name. I don't give like I ought to give. I don't give like I should. But I've had a little tiny bit of experience in it, I think. I was down in Nederland, Texas, preaching the other day near Beaumont, 100 miles from Houston. Lovely couple came up. Tall, dignified, refined people, and she looked at me, and he did, and he said to me, he said, "Brother Howard, Dr. Howard, you don't know us." But he said, "Our son was at Tennessee Temple College, and you spoke there at the Bible conference 2 or 3 years ago, and our son was your chauffeur while you were there." And he said, our boy is the one you bought the suit for." I didn't remember it. They reminded me how that when I finished speaking for the days I was there, I told him, I said, "I want to go to a men's store." And I went to a men's store, and that boy didn't have but one suit of clothes that was decent to wear, and it was almost not decent. And I walked in, and I said, by that young man, I didn't know the young man, but his mom and dad, tears streaming down their cheeks just the other day, said, "Thank you for being good to our boy while he was in college." I was in Norfolk, Virginia the other day, an old preacher stood up, and he said, "I want to say a word." He said, "For 2 months, I couldn't preach, and I didn't have any income. I'm an evangelist. I didn't have any income." He said, "The man you just heard preach sent me enough money to take care of me for 2 months." Now, I don't give like I should, but I got news for you, buddy. I learned what brings joy in life. I learned it's more fun to buy somebody else a new suit than to buy yourself one. I learned it's more fun to give than to receive. I learned it's more fun to have your hand this way than have it this way. Listen, that's one good thing about recession. Hey, the hunting season's on. They're everywhere. Wonderful of them. If you want to have some joy, you don't need a hunting license. There's a fourth thing about the recession that's good, and it's also a chance to know God better. A chance to know God better. I want to remind you folks, it was outside the gate where Stephen saw the Lord Jesus. It was on a lonely aisle where Revelation was written. It was a homesick night when Jacob saw the ladder. It was at midnight when Jacob met God and became a prince of God at Jabbok. It was on a lonely desert where Moses saw the burning bush. It was in a lonely jail cell in Rome where most of the New Testament was written. It was in a weary prison where John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress. Do you know most everything that's ever been good has come from times of recession? It was during recession that Elijah prayed down fire. It was during recession that manna fell from heaven. It was during recession that Joseph fed his brethren. It was during recession that the ravens fed Elijah. It was during recession that the shoes of God's people lasted for 40 years. It was during recession that Moses wrote Philippians 4:19 and Philippians 4:13. It was during recession that we've had all the great British Sunday revival campaigns. It was during recession when Ruth was given to Boaz. It was during recession when God gave us Moses and the ark in the Nile River. It was during recession we received the book of Jeremiah and Lamentations and Obadiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and Joel and Amos and all no let go. Practically all this Bible was written by men during recession time. During the recession when God raised up Dwight L. Moody, brought him over here in Chicago when the poverty was at its depth, and poor people everywhere. And Mr. Moody went over here and started the Northside Gospel Tabernacle, which is now the Moody Church, and a Sunday school for poor kids. One day Mr. Moody saw one of his little kids wasn't there last Sunday, poor little kid. Mr. Moody said, "Hey, where were you last Sunday?" The kid was ashamed to face him. He began to run down the street. Mr. Moody ran behind him. Mr. Moody was sort of fat and ran behind him. And the kid turned the corner. Mr. Moody turned the corner. And the kid ran up the sidewalk. Mr. Moody ran up the sidewalk. And the kid ran inside an apartment house door. And Mr. Moody ran inside the apartment house door. And the kid ran up the stairs. Mr. Moody ran up the stairs. And the kid opened the door to his apartment. Mr. Moody followed him into the apartment. The kid crawled under the bed. Mr. Moody went and got him with a shoe and pulled him out from under the bed.
said, "Where were you last Sunday, son? I missed you." And the father came and saw Mr. Moody pulling his kid out from under the bed. And the father said, "What are you doing?" Mr. Moody said, "Your boy wasn't in Sunday school last Sunday." And the father said, "Oh, you're crazy, Moody. You're crazy, Moody." That's the way Moody Church was started. In depression. In recession. In poverty. It was in recession when the Savior was born. It was in recession when Spurgeon Tabernacle was founded. It was in recession when Joseph was preserved. It was in recession when the Sword of the Lord was founded. It was in recession when Bob Jones University opened its doors. It was in recession when Tennessee Temple was founded. It was in recession that the Book of Ruth was written. It was in recession that Naaman was cleansed of his leprosy. It was in recession Hezekiah's revival came. It was in recession that Prohibition came to America. Would God we had enough sense to have it again. It was in recession when Bob Gray was called to preach, and so was Tom Malone and Jack Hiles and E. Robertson. In fact, never preached in America. Doing something for God. It was in recession. You let me hurt for you. Don't you hurt yourself. Don't you whine. Let somebody else whine for you. Don't indulge in the sin of self-pity. Let somebody else indulge in it for you. You just look up to God and say, "God, it's a good chance to get to know you better." It doesn't hurt to miss a few meals. I know. I understand. I've been there. More than one time, my mother and I sat down alone at a table beside a wood stove over here in the corner, and not one bite of food on the table. I've heard my mother ask the blessing when there was no food to bless. More than once I've heard her say, "Dear God, thank you for providing for us, and I pray you'd provide for my son." And before she finished praying, more than once, I've heard somebody knock on the door and bring food inside. Now listen to me, folks. I'm going to close. You know what we need to learn? We need to learn there's a God. He's more than just a doctrine in the book. He's a living Heavenly Father. And He loves you. And sometimes He seems to turn His back on you a little bit, because He wants to get to know you better. There's an old illustration. I've used it, and I close with it. Didn't have shopping centers when I was a boy. Had little country stores and neighborhood stores. If you wanted anything to wear, you had to go downtown. And to go downtown, we had to ride the streetcar. We'd ride the Lisbon bus. So we got to the corner of Elmore and Ewing, out in Trinity Heights. We called it Hungry Heights, or Tinchy Heights, as I said. And we'd change the Trinity Heights streetcar and ride over the Trinity Riverbed. I always scared the fire to me to ride on a streetcar, and you couldn't see anything under you. You look out the window, nothing under you, and ride over downtown Dallas. We'd get off at Grand and Silver, 5 and 10 cent store. That's where we always bought, where we bought, at a 5 and 9 store. You'd get anything you wanted to there, anything. You had your shoes repaired, a little booth. You sit there, take your shoes off, half sole them, and put them back on, and while you're sitting there. You could buy anything you wanted to buy. Oh, that candy counter at Grand and Silver, I'll never forget it. Oh, there's nothing better than chocolate candy. And nothing smells better than chocolate candy in a 5 and 9 store. And I know when we get to heaven, there's going to be a chocolate candy counter. And they had a little malted milk place. Buy malted milk for a nickel. I stand there and watch those folks drink those malted milks, and I couldn't afford one. And I'd watch a guy leave about that much in his glass, and I'd go over and drink the rest of it. But I can recall those days. And my mother, at the busy Grand and Silver department store, I'd stray away and look at the toys, and I'd get lost from mother. And I'd say, "Mommy!" And there were 500 mommies in the store, and they all answered, "What?" And I never saw so many women's knees in my life. I was about that tall, and trying to find my mommy, and I'd finally find her. And mommy'd say, "Son, are you so close to me?" I'd stray again and get lost again. And I'd say, "Mommy!" I did that several times so my mother would do something.
my mother would hide behind the post. And I'd say, Mommy! 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 She was there, and I couldn't see her. And, my soul, lonely, 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 scared to death.
I want my mommy!
And that little stink, that dear woman, would hide behind that post. And if I'd go this way, she'd get behind like this. I'd go here, she'd get like this. And I thought she was gone. And I could see the orphanage where I was going to grow up. And,
Mommy! Oh, my mommy! Oh, my mommy!
And then Mother would come out behind the post. And say, Son, oh, my soul. I'd grab a hold of that skirt. I'd hold on to it like I held on to a parachute, not as a parachute. I wanted out to let go. And I'd stay right there. I mean, I just didn't want to see her. I wanted to feel her. And I'd stay there. Now, wait a minute. You know what a recession is? Huh? You know what depression is? When God's people decide to wander off a bit.
And God thanks us. Come on back! Come on back! We don't do it.
And God hides behind a pole. Now, that's the question. The fact that my mother was hidden, did that mean I didn't have a mother? Did that mean that my mother didn't love me? Huh? Did that mean my mother was gone? Oh. And sometimes we get to where we want to go our own way.
We can make it okay. Yeah, we can make it all right.
We run off from God, and sometimes God has to do this. And that's what God's doing right now to America. But don't you kid yourself. He's still there. Hidden, yeah, but he's still there. And he loves you. Oh, he loves you. And he's still giving you what's the best for you. So, look, just enjoy this recession. It'll be over one of these days. Enjoy it. It has a special you. And a special flavor that no other part of life really has. And the thing you ought to do is say,
Jesus, where are you? Jesus, where are you?
And about the time you get frantic, he'll come out behind the post. Yeah. So you'll hang on to him and love him more. They sang it a while ago. Dear Lord, take up the tangled strings that we have wrought in vain, that by the skill of thy dear hands, some beauty may remain. I still like the old trite statement. The old country preacher said on the radio one day. They're interviewing him, old country hillbilly preacher. And he said,
we understand this professor down at Emory University says that God is dead. What do you think about that?
The old preacher said, He ain't dead.
He's alive.
And the interviewer, intellectual man interviewing and said, well,
how do you know?
And the old preacher grinned and tears streamed down his cheeks and he said, because I talked to him just a while ago. So did I. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Thank God for the noonday, but thank God for the midnight.
Thank God for the sunshine.
Thank God for the clouds. Thank God for the plenty. Thank God for the famine. Thank God for prosperity. Thank God for the recession. Our heavenly Father.